Hey, Danik.
Yo.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Very good. Yeah.
Well rested.
Back in action. Back in action.
Back in action. Oh, I thought you said bad connection.
Oh, yeah. Also, no, not bad connection.
Okay.
Back in action.
Yeah, just so you know that sometimes the image looks shitty, but that's because it's recording locally, so don't worry.
Ah, okay. All good.
It's meant to look shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how have you been lately? It's been a while since we spoke.
I've been good. I've actually been better than ever since like post pandemic. Of course, I think last time we spoke about the writer's block and me not having the best inspiration ever. Also in studio, so I was making a lot of music for other people. That was no issue. But making music for myself was a bit more of a challenge.
Yeah.
And now I'm like completely, back in that studio grind. So I'm feeling good here. Actually did some new lighting and some new speakers here behind me. Also a small DJ booth that you can see over there.
Oh, yeah.
It's all like super simple, but just really helped me get back to where I came from.
Why did you put those speakers behind you? Is that for the DJ set?
That's for the DJ set. Also to have an extra reference set.
Okay.
Because those KRKs, they sound, very different than what I have here. I have Focal SM9s here and some Evertones. Mm-hmm. There's simple speakers where you can actually hear how it sounds on a laptop speaker or in ear for someone. But that's totally different, so I like to listen on different setups.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's actually not a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people realize that, but changing your environment can really, push your creativity or push your mental state in general. You know.
Yeah, because for me in the pandemic, my studio became this dark place.
Yeah.
While I just built it, so I was super happy with it. But every time you get back to that same looking dark place, you feel the same emotional connection. So you have to change it basically.
Yeah.
To change that perspective, right? And be open to something new. So some minor details, of course, because there's not a lot that I can do because of the acoustics, the acoustic treatment and stuff. It's not that I can paint it. Well, I could, but that wouldn't make sense.
Start drilling into it, like
start like a photo of my mom behind me. That would be nice.
Would be nice, yeah.
But and then like I think when everything started opening up again, and of course everyone saw, for instance, Hardwell performing again, and I just got this huge energy inspiration just by looking at the screen and seeing those live streams and performances. I was like, oh yes, we're getting back to it. So
yeah,
just went back to actually pursue, or not, yeah, to actually challenge myself. Just like, it doesn't matter if I'm not happy with it, just go back to producing. Whatever comes out of it comes out of it. It actually was the best thing I could do, because everything started to become much easier, and ideas started popping up again, how it used to be, just by like not forcing it or something. I wasn't stressed about I have to make something. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna make something and we'll see. And I think that was for me an eye opener.
Yeah, I can imagine, because before the pandemic you were in this, let's say, pattern, this rhythm, constantly doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, certain flow.
Yeah, but you kind of get into a sort of autopilot state where you just do things on autopilot. You don't consciously think about your decisions, the music you make, the content you put out, the steps you take in your career. Would you say that time off, so the pandemic, which is quite a long time, but would you say that taking that time off to think and evaluate really helped you to get back to where you are right now?
Yeah, 100%. Of course, pandemic was not the nicest 2 years that we had, especially for the whole industry and for the people that I work with. But it also had some, I wouldn't say, well, actually some good things, of course. It's like when a forest burns down, you know, there's place and time for new things to pop up and grow. And I think that's exactly what's happening right now. So I had some time to step out of that roller coaster that I was in, or that train that I was in, which was constantly going. And I was, the only thing I was doing was constantly thinking of, okay, next week I'm playing there, I need to have this in my set, or I need to make mashups or whatever. Whatever it was, I was always looking ahead instead of being in the now.
Yeah.
So for me, one of the, and also me, like when my tour manager was looking for a new job, because I had no shows, that really brought my feet back to the ground, where I was like, oh shit, we didn't have like this proper ending of the working relationship we had. And also, like, of course we enjoyed every show we did, but not like in a, how to say that,
conscious way.
Not in a conscious way. Yeah, exactly. Thanks. So that was for me, like, what I was going over and over it, and like, oh man, I have to, when I get back, I really need to really enjoy the moment and not being there just to think of, like, for instance, sometimes I was playing DJing and I was already thinking of, oh shit, we only can get 4 hours of sleep and tomorrow, and then I have to fly and all that kind of stuff, you know. It makes no sense, but in the end it was also like almost like an alarm going off, like, hey Dan, maybe you should take some time off and start appreciate everything, because that's how I started, by really enjoying what I did.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing, right? If you look at, I mean, you know a lot of successful artists. I know a lot of successful artists. And one of the patterns I see, at least with most of those artists, is that they all have this in similarity. As in, it all started with a passion. They became good at what they love to do. The people started loving it. So they started getting bookings. Their tracks started to perform better. They became more successful. And somehow you get into this loophole of your own success, and you don't really have the chance, or you forget to actually appreciate what you have built or what you are building.
No, and you become your own product in a way. And I was always enjoying DJing, because I started out as a DJ instead of, you know, the other way around. And of course I loved every second of it, and also the traveling part, which was not always the best, because of, you know, sometimes you travel 12 hours for 1 hour of show, but just the general fun that we had, also me and my tour manager, and always experiencing new things, which is also kind of addictive. That's something I noticed also by sitting at home for 2 years, like, oh man, yeah. Okay. I actually did enjoy it a lot. But yeah, for me, those 2 years was, I think it was a good call to actually think everything through, and okay, what do I really want? What, you know, it sounds so cliche and so hear it all the time, but when you actually experience it, that's when it kind of hits you.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I look at you now, like, you seem really relaxed and really like, I got this, you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be at this moment.
Well, thanks, but that may look from the outside, but of course I'm super hungry. I'm still very hungry in terms of try to figure out if I can get on top again and to a certain level, because I still think I'm still not done. You know, I'm really eager to have a full agenda and be able to play everywhere like I did, because that's something I really miss. And the only thing I can, the only one that I can look to in the mirror is myself, by being consistent in the studio, being consistent again on social media, etc. So that was something that I also, I put in my agenda for myself, like, okay, let's get back to a consistent release schedule where I, and start focusing on club music again, because I did a lot of, you know, Spotify friendly, I don't know how you want to call it, but
not club music.
Not club music, because that was just because I couldn't make good club music anymore. At least that's what I felt.
Yeah.
Just by the lack of, you know, DJing myself, but also clubs, festivals that were closed. There was something that I couldn't cope with. I saw others doing that like easily, almost, you know, they kept on going.
Yeah, but that's the trap, you know. You see other people doing it, so you think like, oh, that actually might be a good thing to do, or it works.
You never know how the situation is, right? I mean, sometimes people get help, which is fine, by the way. But you know, if you start comparing, you start
exactly you are not them.
Yourself almost, right? It's not worth it. That's also something that I noticed. Like that, I really have to focus on myself. And and when you start focusing on others, yes, of course they can do better or whatever, but that's not it's not going to make me get there faster or something.
Yeah, that's also one of those things you see more often. And I like, me included, the weird thing is that once someone becomes successful with doing their niche thing, so for you, for example, you have a really distinguished sound and a really own sound, like, I think you can ask a lot of people, but you will recognize a Danik song. It will be in the rhythms or in the mixing or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what gets you famous. That's what gets you successful. And then suddenly, most people, when they reach a point of success, they start thinking like, oh, maybe I can start to do different things as well, you know? And they start to, how do you say that? Like,
evolve or try new things.
Well, not necessarily. Like they shift their focus to multiple things instead of just the one thing they know how they do it perfectly. And in most cases, it's best to do just one thing really great instead of also trying to do radio Spotify playlist songs while your biggest thing is club music. That's Danik.
I totally agree. But for me, it was more like, okay, like when I started, like really back in the days, we did a lot of, also you including, we did a lot of remixes. There was
tons of it.
Like you did a couple of solo tracks and then the rest was all remixes and stuff. For me, that was also a very helpful way in making a lot of music, because you get like stems, you know, you get something to work with, an a cappella or a piano riff or whatever. So I was like, okay, so that's why for me, when I was in this writer's block pandemic situation in my studio, I was like, okay, let's actually now answer those people that are sending me all those acapellas and stuff and just make some music.
Yeah,
so that's how I ended up making more Spotify friendly stuff. I still stand by it, by the way. It's not that I hate it or something, but I know my fans are not particularly eager on those tracks because they want to, you know, club and party hard to a Danik song.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, I think it's not a bad thing to do a Spotify track it's not the intention to make a Spotify track, but a more vocal track. For instance, the tracks that I did on Revealed, they were still like progressive, but they ended up being most played on Spotify, right? I made the decision to say like, okay, let's go back to that progressive EDM-ish but still, you know, groovy big room Danik.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm about. That's what the Danik project is about also.
Yeah,
for me, one of the highlights was playing Tomorrowland, because it was pretty last minute and they asked me to do two weekends, one with back-to-back with Dairo on the Rose Garden stage, which was like a classic stage. So they asked me to do like classics from, you know. And then, you know, that's always a tough decision, because in one way it can come over like you are over and you are a classic DJ, right?
You're a classic now, yeah.
I was like, oh, should I do that? But then they were like, no, yeah, you can do like, 70% classics and the rest is you can do new music, of course. But playing those shows was really eye-opening. Like it was completely packed. The energy was like insane. And everyone's like, yeah, man, we love it so much and blah, blah, blah. And we need this energy back. And I was like, why am I overthinking everything? I just need to, you know. And stick then, of course, make it a little bit more 2022. but that's what really launched my inspiration for all the tracks that are coming right now.
And are you releasing most of those tracks on your own label or?
In the beginning, yes, because we really wanted to have that consistency and also the notice of Danik having a comeback. So one of the reasons why I stopped with funk recordings was because of there was lack of club music or people listening to club music. And of course, one of the main reasons why I started funk was because of helping other young producers. So I, either way, I couldn't help myself by releasing music on the label, and for other producers, it wouldn't make sense either, because you know it was so hard to market that music at the time.
Yeah.
But now I felt like, okay, we need to spread the word that we're back, but also funk is back. But I haven't had like any funk demo in a while. So, you know, what better way is to just launch it by releasing my own tracks and that every, you know, getting to that consistent vibe again. And now we actually just had a couple of days ago, we had the first release from other producers. So it's starting to, you know, the snowball effect is starting to go now.
Is it hard to activate the fan base again?
It is actually. I noticed, but in general, I noticed that social media has changed a lot. You know, everyone's fighting the algorithm. I even saw Mike Williams posting something like, "I'm done with social media if it has to be like this, etc." So, I know everyone's struggling, even if you are like a top tier artist. And of course, there are some, you know, like James Hype, for instance, he's killing it. Also, but he has so much content. But that's also how he basically broke through, like by sharing something that he was really good at and then having an A game in content.
And it should also fit your personality, because not everyone is the type of person that
can
create that type of content. Exactly. You know? James Hype, in my opinion, is more like an entertainer as well. Like
100%.
An entertainer.
And but that's great. But for us guys that really want to have a comeback, you really have to re-evaluate and reinvent yourself almost. Yeah. But like it's tough.
The boring producers have a problem with social media.
Well, to be honest, I think everyone can. I'm not a really big fan of showing everything that I do on a daily basis. You know, I like to keep things private that are private, etc. And of course, when I'm touring, I have no problem with that because that's work and it's fun. And I have every day I have different things to share that are worth sharing, of course. Yeah. So I did those vlogs, of course, and I did a lot of that stuff. But while you have less shows and then you want to have the same kind of content. Yeah, if I would post a video or a photo of me in a studio every day, I would get bored of that as well. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's funny that the discussion about social media is so trending at this moment, aside from the fact that there's a lot going on around TikTok and if government should ban it and stuff. It kind of feels to me that, especially with artists, they're so done with social media. Like every client I talk to here in the coaching, everyone says like, I'm done. You know, like most of my time gets allocated towards content. It doesn't make sense anymore. You know, I want to make music.
It's not really about the music anymore.
Yeah. And the shift needs to go back to music. And
But one of the main issues is not in particular social media, because I love interacting with people.
Yeah, that's not the problem.
That's not the problem. The problem is, let's say I have now a half million followers. When I post something, the reach is like ridiculously small. I have to pay to gain some more reach, but it's not. I even like on funk, I did for a release. We did one boosted post, and the only thing I got, and this is a true story, was Pakistani people that are not following my page, and I have nothing against Pakistani people. Don't get me wrong, but like completely. People that are not following me, they started spamming me in the DM. So it was obvious, and this was officially through Instagram, like just a promotional post. The only thing I said was like, "Yeah, followers like my you know, target followers that are already following me, like the same kind of people. So it's like, and that all also got me like frustrated, like, you know, even paying doesn't really help anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to, and then you have to figure out, okay, I have to make content that are so different that it would go viral, but then it would go against what I would like to share.
And it's not authentic anymore.
Because... And it's not authentic anymore. So
yeah,
all those kind of things together, I get why people say that, but we still need it in a way of, you want to reach that audience, like, hey, I have a new track out. And I still get people, even on social media, like saying, hey, when is your new track coming out? And then I just released it like yesterday.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. That's really frustrating.
And do you think, like, at least I believe that that's where the future is heading. I believe like we're going kind of backwards, as in we're going to focus more on tiny communities instead of those mass groups of millions. Let's say for example, for you, you have 500,000 followers on Instagram. But not all of those people are as big as of a fan as some people. So I believe it's kind of going back to where the real diehard fans, so let's say 50,000 people, go to another place, which could be Discord now, for example, and where that community is in contact with each other constantly, where you are part of the community as well. So you will be actively...
Yeah, that's something I'm exploring myself as well.
Yeah, and then the masses happen on all those other platforms, whichever it will be, you know?
Yeah, I think it's also counterproductive in a way, the way Instagram and Meta now operate. But that's also been going on since, 8 years already, that we have these kind of marketing meetings where we're like, yeah, okay, well, yeah, we have to put some more money to it because we are not reaching the people. It doesn't make sense, of course.
Yeah.
But I 100% believe in a smaller, more dedicated fan base than, you know, a lot of people that follow you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But in a way, sometimes, you know, if you are being consistent and you keep on grinding, I also believe that somehow this virality, you know, to go viral, will also sometimes happen organic.
Sure.
I posted a tweet like 5 days ago or something, just by saying like, I would love to have Progressive House back 100%. And it exploded. Usually I get like, what is it now? 10, maybe 10 retweets and like 20 likes or something. Yeah. This was like, I don't know, in the hundreds. So, and that's also what you just said. Like if people really notice it's you, say by typing something out of the ordinary or something that is real or looks real, instead of, hey, my new track is out now, which is, you know, everyone's saying the same thing, right? So, so I'm also looking into that too. How can I be more real and more authentic, and actually be in touch with a lot of people? It's also time consuming, so you have to really balance it out.
Yeah, but this is a different, as in, right now most of the artists are already spending a lot of time on social media, but it's kind of the useless void of social media. And now spending time in your community and being part of the community, talking to your fans, bringing back value, so maybe do live streams or talking one-on-one with some of them, that really helps to build the fan base from the ground up and creates a really strong fundament.
Yeah, I agree.
For the rest of everything. But right now, most of the artists only have like the useless kind of followers and don't have the fundament of the real followers.
Yeah.
Or you might have them, but you can't reach them.
Yeah, it's not only that. We also have to be real to ourselves and say, like, and that's also like I studied marketing as well. Like, we know every 4 years, you know, people come and go, and the people that love my music, let's say 8 years ago when I was at the top of my career, they moved on. Maybe they have kids now. They have you know, families, whatever. They have different musical tastes. They go to techno parties now instead of the EDM that they used to party harder.
True.
So it's both the challenge of reaching a younger audience by like, you know, you have to have a new breed of fans coming in. And that balance should be really, really good. But yeah. I agree, like if you start with some kind of community, that people will also start talking to their own friends and say, hey, this is super cool or whatever.
Yeah.
But
no, if it's a nice place to be and if people can get value out of it in some kind of way, so maybe they get new friends because of your community. They maybe they get in contact with you because you are part of the community.
Yeah.
When people like to be in your community house, let's say your clubhouse, they start referring it to other people as well. Because in the end, we're humans and we like to be part of groups that with like-minded people. And if you can create that, I think that can be a strong fundament for your career.
No, I agree 100%. Yeah. Of course, that's cool. Like everything that's happening, our technology, we can do so much right now.
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like after the pandemic, you really went back to the core of why you ever started with this whole thing and what you love and started doubling down on that. Where do you see the upcoming few years going? So for you, but also for the music industry.
I'm going to be super honest. I think the next year will be tough.
Mm-hmm.
This year, every artist did a lot of like pushback shows from the pandemic. So, and everyone was partying hard because, you know, it was postponed. Everyone was able to party again. Well, of course, if you look at the macroeconomics, everyone is in a situation where we have huge inflation.
Yeah.
I'm not like a super, how do you say that, depressed or something. I'm also positive that while people may not have the money to go on a holiday, they will spend it on entertainment. In a sense that we also need to get out there and go to a festival and, you know, just forget about everyday life and forget about your problems and all, you know, those cliche things. But it will be tougher because we cannot expect to ask the same amount for a ticket, for instance. I think that's going to be under pressure. It's even right now we see a lot of big artists that have problems selling tickets. And I think that will continue to be worse for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after that, after the recession and everything, that things will get back to normal very soon, and we can really start enjoying a healthy industry again. But I think we need some more months to really recover and settle, because so much has happened.
Hmm.
This is not something that will go away in an instant. Like, oh yeah, just forget about it. That's not how it works.
Exactly. I do think that this recession, which we might be in or which might be coming, eventually will bring a lot of good things, as in it will take out the rotten tomatoes and kind of the good projects, the good artists, the good labels, everything that really has a strong fundament will remain and will become even stronger afterwards. So if you survive this, chances are pretty big that you will do really well afterwards.
I agree. Yeah. And I think for the smaller artists, it's also important to not give up.
Yeah.
How hard it may sound. But I think in general, it's you shouldn't blame yourself that it's not really picking up yet. Because even an artist like me, I'm struggling to get a good amount of shows just by how the industry is right now. And the market is really still recovering, in a recovery phase, and everyone's still also waiting. Everyone's a little bit precautious, you know, about everything. So I can imagine how hard it is if you're just starting out and you're super talented, but it doesn't translate into shows yet. But I think you should continue building from the bottom up.
Yeah,
those shows will come eventually, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And financially, I think for most of those starting artists, it would be wise to have like a side job or something to pay for the bills. Because that will keep you sane enough and to keep this going, because the moment you get financial problems, it's going to be really tough.
But the moment you have struggles or problems, you, in my opinion, at least that's how it works for me, you cannot be the creative mind that you would want to be, because you have no memory left, right? It's like a computer that is overloaded. You cannot perform at your best in every.
You're in survival modus.
You're in survival modus. You cannot think straight. So if you have a job on the side which at least pays the bills, then you can have this as a hobby, which is for me how it started. And I was already like looking forward when I was working on my day job, like, oh, tonight I'm finally going back to producing. You know, you're so inspired. So that's definitely a good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's how I started around 2007, I guess, ish. And I started thinking a while back, like, that actually was also a big recession at that moment.
Yeah, 100%.
And if I think of it now, it was super hard to get gigs and to get paid gigs at that time because everyone was bankrupt. But I never really thought about it like that because I was, I don't know, 16, 17 years old and didn't even know what a recession was. Yeah. So afterwards, now that I look back at it, I was like, okay, I went through a recession and I also lived through like the 2014, 2015 moments where everything was possible. And it's such a different world literally that you live in, because
I think these next couple of years are the biggest opportunities in terms of not only financially but everything. I think
exactly
we can really as humankind, we can come out of this as a very strong way.
Exactly, if you survive this, you will become much more stronger afterwards. So it's a good period to build, let's say.
100%.
So thanks, Dan, for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
For sharing your story. I think it's really nice to hear that you're so open about this, because I can imagine that not everyone is comfortable with sharing a story like this. But
in that sense, I'm an open book. I like to be honest about everything and real. I dislike being fake. And I think it also shows if you fake something. Authenticity is the way to go. And because everything is all, you know, flowers and sun on social media, I think it's also good to have a decent conversation where people actually can hopefully learn something from. Because, you know, I 100% I made mistakes in the past, and it's my job, at least that's how I feel, to hopefully teach people my findings, and of course then it's up to them what they do with it. But one more thing, because you asked me, like, I have more releases coming up, which is maybe good for I have a comeback on Revealed, which is cool.
Oh really? Like solo or collaboration?
Together with Dastic.
Nice.
Super nice guy also, and I'm really happy with the song. It's a progressive melodic tune. And then on Protocol is a new track coming up, and that's also something that I noticed, like the industry itself is very healthy and very friendly also, like everyone's really eager to help each other. So don't be afraid to you know, send people your music, and if you don't get a response, that's, you know, just continue sending, because in the end, good music will always find its way. And and also try to build your network, because networking is also a key factor. Super in making important. Because Protocol, like I don't think I released there yet. Yeah, I did a remix for like Home back in the days, but I always had a really good relationship with Nicky Romero, and I send him all my music, and every time he basically loves a lot of tracks that I do, because of course the groovy stuff that he digs. Now he was like, yeah, man, we can really definitely do this on Protocol if you like, but I understand if you want to do it on Funk. Yeah. But for me right now, it's the best way of releasing every, you know, in particular, in more shops.
Yeah, every platform. Yeah.
More platforms. Yeah.
Yeah, that would make more sense, you know, especially to reach more people and to let everyone know that you're back.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Yeah.
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 Where can artists send their demos for Funk if they want to?
Really? Oh, for Funk. Demo at funkrecordings.com. And it's working again. I'm actually checking it twice a week. Not daily, because I get it's too much.
Yeah.
But twice a week, and make sure that it's that you understand what the label is about. I don't mean it in a bad way, but I think it's also important when you send music. For instance, if you send Slap House to Funk, we're obviously not going to release it. Not because it's bad, because it doesn't fit the label. Yeah. So make sure you invest time and do your own research in what label might fit my sound, because otherwise it's just like you're spraying all of your music all over the internet, and in my opinion that doesn't work. If you even very simple in the subject demo for Funk Recordings, I immediately would open it, because if I see it works different, because it, like if I get 100 emails a day and all the emails have like I don't know, Slap House song or techno song, then I'm not going to open it, because I know it's not going to be suitable for Funk.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm arrogant. It's because I have limited time and I really want to listen to people that actually made something for my label.
And you have a brand to protect, you know, you want to stick to, again, the
Exactly. It's no hard feelings. It's not, I'm not a bad guy. It's just like, we really want a certain sound, and if it fits, it fits.
Okay. Great. Expect a lot of demos to receive with for Funk Recordings.
I hope so. Looking forward.
Thanks for your time, man, and it's been good catching up.
Cheers. Thank you.